This morning's message is Thanksgiving Transformation, and I'm not going to suggest that I'm going to transform your Thanksgiving celebration. You had that this week, and you have family traditions and ways that you do things, but I believe that Thanksgiving is transformative in our lives, and so that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. As we do that, we're going to turn to Colossians 3, 15 to 17. Turn there with me in your Bibles. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. That's where my focus is going to be, but I'm going to go ahead and begin reading from the beginning of chapter 3. It is just, it's good word for us this morning. So from the beginning of Colossians 3, but then we'll focus on verses 15 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You notice there's quite a bit of thanksgiving mentioned here in these verses 15 through 17. There's kind of three phases here that Paul mentions, and in each one he talks about giving thanks. First of all, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ, it's the peace which Christ gives us. It's an internal peace, and it's also a peace in our relationships. Peace has to do with quietness, with rest, to being set at one again, being unified. That's what peace has to do with. So what is the peace of Christ? There's a few other scriptures I'd like to share with you that talk about this peace. First of all, in Colossians 1, 19 to 20. It says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, that's Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God's intention through Jesus Christ is to reconcile, it says in Colossians, all things to himself. That means us as people. It means all of the brokenness of our creation and the world that we're in. Through the love of Christ, God's intention is to reconcile that, to bring peace through Christ and what he's done for us in giving his life for us. Romans 5, 1 to 2 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's this peace with God that we receive through Christ. When we know that all is well between us and God, that we're at peace with God, that we are made right with Him, that our relationship with Him is unhindered, it has a transforming effect on our lives. And that peace spreads from within us to our outer lives, even to our relationships with other people. That's the peace of Christ, when we're at peace with God. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It's another side here of the peace of Christ. It's what we have as we trust, as we rest in Christ, even though we face troubles in the world. The peace of Christ is within us, even in the face of those troubles. I want to encourage you this morning that if you're churning inside, to seek the peace of Christ. Don't put it off. It requires listening to Christ, trusting Christ to do what we can't do, to know what is best. That peace is promoted as we give thanks, Paul says. He didn't just kind of throw that in on the side there, give thanks. The peace of Christ is promoted as we give thanks. If we allow the peace of Christ to rule within us, it leads to a greater peace in our outer relationships. When you begin to churn, ask yourself, where have I knocked Christ off the throne? Where have I not allowed Christ to rule? Paul says here, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule means to act as an umpire. And so in your inner conflicts, the disputes and the differences, the things that pull at you within, Christ's peace is what rules that, the umpire over those things. And so we had put Christ on the throne in our lives and allow Him to work with those conflicts that we feel inside when there's turmoil. The first thing to do when there's turmoil is to get our relationship with God squared away through Christ. Be thankful for the peace of Christ in your life. Thanksgiving promotes peace in your life. It's not just thrown in here. An attitude of gratitude contributes to an enjoyment of spiritual tranquility, whereas grumbling makes for inner agitation. So thanksgiving contributes both to our inner and our outer peace. Paul says, be thankful. Be or become implies that gratitude is a habit. It's something which we need to acquire. It's something we do by an act of our will. We decide to do that. And so have you been thanking God this week? Do you regularly give thanks to God? Is it a habit in your life? It will help you to experience the peace of Christ. And beyond that, how's your thanksgiving with other people? Is that a habit in your lives to thank others? Do you thank your spouse for the routine things that they do around the house or for going out to work? Do you thank your children for the chores that they do? If we think that we don't need to do this, what does that say about our attitude? Sometimes in life we just kind of think you're expected to do that. And we fail to be thankful. We need to be thankful. It promotes peace in our relationships. Do you thank people around the church here for the things that they do? Do you thank the people at your work for their contributions in the workplace? Do you thank people in all the areas of your life with heartfelt thanks? The only way to do that is to live sort of a reflective life. It doesn't necessarily come naturally. We have to reflect on what are people doing around me? What are the things that I have to be thankful for? Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul in Philippians makes this connection between thanksgiving and the peace of Christ, the peace of God in our lives. Do not be anxious. Pray. Ask God for what we need. When we're thankful for all that God's done for us, the peace of Christ will reign in our hearts and in our lives. And so Paul makes that connection here in Colossians. Paul goes on to say, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." That's what we just finished doing a little bit ago. Singing, expressing our gratitude to God. The word of Christ, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in your hearts. The word of Christ refers both to the message about Christ, the teaching of Christ. It refers not simply to a new set of rules or renewed rules that Christ brings us, but it speaks to allowing everything about who Christ is to infuse our life. When you think of Christ and His life and what He's done and all that He is, and allowing Him to live in us, and recognizing that we are found in Him, we let His Word richly dwell in us. To dwell richly means to give Him space, to let Him have ample room in our lives. We had visitors at our house this weekend, and as they came, we entertained them, family members, and we tried to take care of their needs, and they pitched in and helped. One of the things we didn't expect them to do in our house was to rearrange the furniture. And they didn't. We did sometimes to play games. We rearranged things in the living room. But we didn't expect them to come and do that because they're just visiting at our house. But we dwell in our house. We live there. We're there all the time. And so we've remodeled our house over the years. We've rearranged the furniture. Recently we did some painting because we dwell there. We dwell there, and therefore we change the things in our house, the home there. This says to allow the word of Christ to richly dwell in you. Let it live there. Let it make changes in your life. Let it change you. This morning we're examining just a small portion of God's word. Will you allow it to dwell richly in you, to examine you, to rearrange your life, to make changes there as we talk about thankfulness? Paul says, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So as we allow the Word of God, the Word of Christ, to richly dwell in us, we teach, we admonish one another. We encourage one another. The emphasis here is on all wisdom. It means taking the time to enter the shoes of another, to develop relationship with them, to listen and to understand what the other person faces, to reflect on whether we've experienced as they have or whether we're coming to understand their experience. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." And so we teach and admonish one another. We encourage one another as the Word of God, as the Word of Christ dwells in us richly. And then Paul seems to be saying here, sing a wide variety of songs of joy and of gratitude. It'll have a positive effect on your faith and on your lives. It's a part of allowing the Word to dwell in us richly, giving it plenty of space. Last night our family spent a little bit of time singing in the living room. It sort of livened up the Word of God in me. There was something a little bit more powerful, a little bit more lively about Christ as we sang together. And so thanksgiving, that kind of thanksgiving, and especially with music, it livens up the Word in us. I don't know if you've ever heard that word livens. I don't think I use it very much. But it makes the Word of Christ more lively in us as we give thanks. And one of the special ways that we do that is as we sing together. Psalm 103, 1-5 says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Thanksgiving livens the word of Christ in us, helps to make it real. Our times of worship together help to make the word of Christ more lively in us. Paul goes on to say, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." He says, do it all in the name of Jesus. He says, you're a representative of Jesus. And so we ask, what would Jesus do in this situation? If Jesus was here living my life right now, how would Jesus deal with things? It's not a rule, but a principle to be applied in all the situations that we face in life. As a kid, my brother was here just this weekend. And one of the things we used to do is, we played around, and sometimes one of us was in a room and the other one was outside and ready to come in. I don't know what we might have been playing, but sometimes we would say, "Open up in the name of the King." And I think we heard those words on some story that we had recorded on tape somewhere. I think it was soldiers, maybe there was at a time a story about persecution in the church many years ago. And the soldiers come and they knock on the door, "Open up in the name of the King." It represented a kind of authority. This was a representative of the King standing at the door, and you better open it up, was the idea there. Well, this says, do everything that you do in the name of Christ. It's with that kind of authority and that kind of doing things as Christ would do them. We're representatives of Christ. He says, do it in word and deed. It applies to every single area of our lives. An essential component here, he says, is that we retain a sense of God's goodness and we're careful to thank Him for it. So as we live our lives this way, we have to retain that sense of God's goodness and we need to be careful to thank Him for it. When what we're doing seems difficult, because sometimes it does, unfulfilling, maybe even boring sometimes, can you find reason to give thanks to God? Do you find great joy and excitement in what you're doing? In those times, do you remember to give thanks to God? Turning away from God in good times is just as much a danger of turning from God in bad times. In good times, we tend to develop an attitude of self-sufficiency or even begin to believe that we're blessed because we deserve what we're getting, rather than recognizing that all good things come from God's grace. Martin Luther once wrote in his book, Table Talk, that we exhibit a degree of thanksgiving in life in reverse to the proportion of the amount of blessings that we've received. He said, the greater God's gifts and works, the less they are regarded. A hungry man is more thankful for his morsel than a rich man for his heavily laden plate. A lonely woman in a nursing home will appreciate a visit more than a popular woman for whom a party has been thrown. A Russian who finally gets his own copy of the Holy Scriptures after 75 years of state-imposed atheism is more thankful for his little book than for all of the Christian books and magazines and translations that may overflow our shelves. Ralph Waldo Emerson observed that if the constellations appeared only once in 1,000 years, imagine what an exciting event it would be. How many of you looked at the stars last night? Now imagine that if last night was the once in 1,000 years that the stars would be available, would be visible. We'd have all been outside looking at the stars, right? If that had been the case. I remember when we just had the solar eclipse this summer. There were people out all over the place looking because it doesn't come around very often. But because the stars are out every night, sometimes we barely even give them a look. One of the evidences of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is a gradual reverse of this twisted pattern. So the idea that the more we have, the less thankful we are is a twisted pattern. And when the Spirit works in our lives, that pattern gets straightened out. God wants to make us people who exhibit a thankfulness in proper proportion to the gifts and the blessings we've received. And when we begin to count up those blessings and those gifts, we'll be full of thankfulness. I don't think there'll be any one of us that will not be able to be thankful. And so when it says giving thankfulness in proportion to God's blessing, there'll be no limit to the amount of blessing there. So there'll be no limit to the amount of thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Thankfulness has a transforming effect. That's why we find thanksgiving threaded throughout these three verses. It transforms us. There's a story from the devotional book Springs in the Valley that tells of a man who found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. He found that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than the others. And he learned that those seeds could be made to grow almost anywhere. You've probably experienced discouragement in all kinds of situations in your life. But when Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted that there was one place in which he could never get them to thrive. "And where is that?" asked the man. Satan replied sadly, "In the heart of a grateful person." Want to fight discouragement in your life? Try thankfulness. Try gratitude. Would you like the peace of God in your heart today? It starts by making Jesus the leader, the forgiver of our lives. And as we continue to give Him our lives, the peace of Christ will dwell in our hearts. And as we give thanks, all of that will begin to grow and continue to grow in our lives. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up to lead us in a closing song this morning. Allow thanksgiving to have a transformative effect in your lives this week and the rest of the year. Please stand as we pray together and then sing together. Father, I thank you this morning for the peace of Christ. Lord, I admit that sometimes things don't feel peaceful for us. Sometimes inside, sometimes in the outer world in which we inhabit. But Father, I ask that we would learn to rest in you, to rest in Christ, in such a way that the peace of Christ may dwell in us, may be a part of us. Father, may your word, may the word of Christ richly dwell within us, and may we do all that we do in the name of Christ, in the way in which Christ would do it, with the authority that Christ has. And in all of this, Lord, may we be filled with gratitude. We want to express our thanks to you. Lord, you are good, you are loving, you are full of care and concern for us. You've provided well for us. And Father, we depend on you. We are not able to do all that you call us to do, except by your strengthening, by your encouragement. And so we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.